May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So Sunday afternoons after church, my routine is that I go over the recording of this week's sermon, upload it to our podcast here, and then I go on Facebook and I look and see what all my other friends preached that Sunday. It's kind of a geeky thing that priests and pastors do. We're like, well, I preached this. What did you preach on? Last week, since my Facebook feed and my friends are overwhelmingly progressive theologians from places like Episcopal Divinity School, virtually everybody had preached on and talked about issues of race, about the things going on in Ferguson, Missouri, in New York, in the questions of the police. And I didn't. You all know that. Well, those of you who are here anyway know that. Or those of you who listen to the podcast, I guess. But I didn't go there. And it was interesting to me listening to all the wonderful things my friends had preached, many of which were brilliant and insightful, and also the reactions they had gotten, because a couple of folks had people get up and walk out on them, and I read their sermons and went, well, that's not that big a deal. But the interesting thing was how all of my other priest friends responded to kind of that conversation around it. And being a bunch of liberal progressive theologians, the general consensus was anybody who did not preach on race and the sin of racism last week, it was a dereliction of homiletical duty. I stayed very quiet. But it got me thinking about why so many of these sermons had addressed this very important topic that's happening in our culture and our society, and why I did not. And I have to tell you, it's because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say because my experience of the police has always been positive. I grew up in a place where I knew some of the police officers. I've always been treated by respect when I've had encounters with my local police. I've always thought and felt that I could trust them if I was in trouble or if I ran into a problem. I've always been one of those really, really law-abiding folks, and it never occurred to me that that wouldn't be good enough, because that's my experience. My experience is that the police are doing an incredibly difficult job. They are doing it in a dangerous situation, and they are offering themselves in ways that I'm not sure I would be willing to offer. That's my experience. And I know it's not everyone's experience. Because I have friends who grew up in different communities and friends who have different experiences. A friend of mine in seminary, a young black man, spent several hours at a police station after he was pulled over on I-95 because he was hauling a U-Haul. And they searched the whole U-Haul, and they were quite certain he must be transporting drugs. I don't think I'd have been pulled over in that same situation. Or at least, I never have been. And I have friends who have different experiences and do not, as a result, view the police as trustworthy. And these are people I trust, and I know their stories are being offered honestly. It's what they've experienced. And I don't know how to reconcile those very two different kinds of experiences. I just don't know what to say that honors the truth of both our stories, that acknowledges the reality that we both experienced. I don't know what to say. And even if I knew what to say about that, I don't know what to say we should do. I don't know what to do. Because this is an old, old problem, and the people I know really, really pieces of our system. I don't know how to solve the problem or fix it. And so I said nothing because I didn't know what to say. But it was on my heart and my mind this week as I read about John the Baptist again. Because it struck me that once again, the same text that my friends found so much to say about is the same story I'm being offered again this week. And so what would I say this week? And I still don't fully have the answer. But I do have this image of John with the authorities and people who knew coming out to him and saying, "Who are you? Explain this to us. We want you to tell us who you are and what we should do and what we should say." And John tells them mostly who he's not. If I were a prophet, Elijah or Moses, I would know what to say to you this week. John maybe would know, but he wasn't Elijah or Moses, so here we are, not a prophet. If I were the Messiah, then I would know what to do. And I don't. But then I am not the Messiah, just as John wasn't the Messiah. The Pharisees were so disappointed by that. I'm sure my friends will be so disappointed, and maybe you all will be so disappointed by those responses. We are not prophets to know what to say. We are not messiahs who know what to do. So what are we? And John says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." The gospel writer says he was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. And maybe that's what I am called to do here, and maybe that's what you are called to do as well. We are called to bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ did not just come for the religious authorities or the people who were respectable and well-dressed. Jesus came and hung out with all kinds of inappropriate and unacceptable people. Jesus hung out with lawbreakers. For those of you who think Jesus liked law-abiding folks best, prostitutes were not considered the most upright and law-abiding of citizens then any more than they are now. Tax collectors, lepers, people who absolutely had no business in respectable society, people who were treated with suspicion for good reason. And I can bear witness to the truth of Jesus' ministry that God values those people just as much as he values the Pharisees and the law-abiding folks and the centurions. Because that's how Jesus showed us in his life. And that is what the church has been telling us ever since his resurrection. As Paul says, in Christ Jesus, there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male nor female. All of the categories of people that we use are not categories that we should use, because they are not categories that God uses. And that is the light of the kingdom of God, that we are all beloved and welcome children of God. And I can call for the repentance of our sins that keep us from living into that reality. Because when people who are unarmed die at the hands of our authorities, something is wrong. When those people are disproportionately from one group with less power than another group, who have different color skin, most of us sitting here today. I can bear witness to the sin that is in us that does not see as God sees, that carries with it so many different assumptions and expectations that we are not even aware of. Because the sin of racism is still part of our society and our culture. No matter how hard we have been trying to eradicate it, no matter how hard we want it to be gone in our hearts, it is still there. And we can call for the repentance for the sin of violence which infects our culture and our society, and which makes that job of the police so dangerous, that makes it hard for us to respond to one another in love instead of fear. Because violence is part of our culture, and we so often fall into the sin of thinking that we can respond to the violence around us with more violence, and that this will somehow fix the problem. And we can be voices in the wilderness calling and naming those realities that are not part of God's will for us. And we can ask for God to shine God's light on those places. And we can prepare the way of those who do know what to say, who have stories to share with us that will challenge what we think we already know on both sides. Those who have stories that lead us to understand more fully where God is in the midst of our life, in the midst of this broken world, where there are places of resurrection and hope. We can prepare the way for people who maybe do know what to do to heal our nation and our world, to bring us together without those boundaries and those distinctions. We can prepare the way and open our hearts and listen so that we can bear testimony to the light, so that we can witness God working here among us and in all kinds of places where the darkness seems to be strongest, so we can bear witness to the way light brings new life. Don't really know what the answers are, but I can bear witness to the truth that God longs for something better, and that God has sent prophets, God has sent Jesus Christ, God has sent so many of us and so many others out there in the world to show us where we might go, to make the road straight in the wilderness that leads to the kingdom of God. God has promised that our darkness will not overcome His light. God has promised that one day all will be set right, and all that is broken in us will be healed and forgiven. And we can bear witness to that promise, to that hope, that even in the midst of not knowing what to say or what to do to the darkness in our world, that we believe that there is something that can be said, something that can be done, so that we can grow more fully into the promise of God's kingdom. He was not the light, but He came to testify to the light. May that also be true of us. Amen.